This is the FM Gold channel of All India Radio. In the program News Analysis, now we bring you a discussion on overall analysis of 7th phase of polling. The participants are K.S. Sachidananda Murthy, political analyst, and Shishir Sinha, journalist.
7th and final phase of general election 2019 will take place on Sunday. It will have 59 Lok Sabha constituencies across 7 states and union territories. Mr. Murthy, how do you see the importance of 7th phase of this election?
I think this is a very crucial phase because every phase has its different thing, you know. As somebody noted that in India, though it's one general election, it's also a series of general elections because of the regional variations which happen. Now, for example, in this phase, the entire state of Punjab, along with the Union Territory of Chandigarh, is going to the polls. Now, Punjab's political character is very different from, say, the constituencies in Madhya Pradesh, which are going to the polls, or Bengal. So, Punjab is seeing a triangular contest where the parties present there, like Akali Dal and Aam Aadmi Party, and some small parties, you don't find them in any other state. So, each phase in this election has been important because of the variation of the political landscape. And if you look at the big seats are there, whether it is in Uttar Pradesh, like Varanasi, Gorakhpur, so many, similarly in Bihar, Patna Sahib and Pataliputra, which are crucial for both the BJP and the RJD. Or if you go to Bengal, again, it has been a very contentious election there.
Yeah, 3 states, Bihar, Uttar Pradesh and West Bengal, all 3 have gone into 7 phases. We have seen election in 7 phases. And all 3 have different characteristics. Bihar and Uttar Pradesh, polling percentage was not that good in 6 phases. In West Bengal, it is always 80% plus. But West Bengal is also known for violence. Yeah. So how do you see, even today there was some incident of violence. So how do you see election in West Bengal?
West Bengal has had this history because of the highly confrontational attitude of the political parties. I mean, they use a lot of noise, they use a lot of shouting, and also there's a lot of use of muzzle power. Because of the high percentage of voting, they must be much more moderate in their argumentation, but they're very fierce in their argumentation. So that's why. And why 7 phases in these 3 states? Because of the law and order issues. Though, I mean, only West Bengal has a bigger area which used to be under the influence of the Naxalites. Bihar has some places which are there. UP doesn't have a Naxalite. But otherwise, local mafias, local gundas, local issues. That's why the Election Commission, in consultation with the forces and state governments and the central government, decided to have it in 7 phases, stagger the elections.
When we talk about 80% plus in all the 6 phases, and I mean, we can't say about the 7th phase, but we can expect the same kind of voting pattern, yes, in the state. So what does it mean? I mean, higher percentage means what?
Higher percentage means that the involvement of the electorate, that means the mobilization by the contending parties, both by the main contending parties are the Trinamool Congress, which has been ruling the state, and the BJP, seen as the main challenger. But the CPM and the Congress are also there. So the highest level of political mobilization, also West Bengal has always been known for political activity down at the village level, much more than Bihar or Uttar Pradesh.
Is it something to do with incumbency, pro-incumbency or anti-incumbency?
Yes, it could also be that. So the voters have come out strongly to express their views on both the central government and the state government. Now, which way they have voted, that only on 23rd we will know. But yes, the voters feel very possessive. The proprietorship of this election is with the voters of Bengal. Because even Kerala did not, which is known for high turnout, had not seen the kind of turnout which 2 important states in the east, that is, one is West Bengal, the other is Assam. Assam also had very high turnout.
And see, all the northeastern regions,
yes,
have seen very high
turnout. So that means there is a sort of ownership. In these states, there have also been contentious issues. Assam has seen a lot of discussions on the National Citizenship Register and the Citizenship, Proposed Citizenship Act. And Bengal has seen a lot of allegations that the stepmotherly treatment by the central government, and the BJP has been saying that there is a huge corruption and this Sarda and other chit fund scandals. There was a confrontation between the center and state over the arrest of the Calcutta police commissioner, where the chief minister herself sat on a dharna against the central government, the Supreme Court had to intervene. So I think this high surcharged political atmosphere in Bengal is also responsible for the high turnout of voters.
And when you cut down the campaigning time by almost 24 hours, I mean, of course, it came into effect from 10 p.m., not from the 6 p.m. on the next day. So do you think, will it have some kind of impact on this phase of polling?
I think basically it was a preventive measure. The Election Commission took a view that if they do not curtail the open campaigning by political parties in these constituencies which are going to the polls on Sunday, there could have been greater violence. So the other option the Election Commission had, the extreme option was to cancel the elections or postpone the polling. But I think there are the two other extreme options which they didn't take. They said, okay, one day let everybody cool their heels. Let them not be on the streets. And also there was a higher deployment of the central security forces on the streets of these constituencies so that the hotheads on all sides were not allowed to be on the streets in big gatherings. It was a precautionary step, I think, but still, as you rightly noted, even today there has been tension. So it's a very highly surcharged political atmosphere in Bengal.
Now coming to Bihar, which is going for election on 8 seats, and 2 seats which are very critical. One is, of course, Patna Sahib, and then another one is Ara, and we can also take Buxar. Patna Sahib more specifically, where we have Union Minister Mr. Ravi Shankar Prasad is contesting against former BJP leader and now Congress candidate Mr. Shatrughan Sinha. How do you see this kind of, because why I'm asking this question, because there is a Grand Alliance in Uttar Pradesh also, there is a Grand Alliance in Bihar. While the Grand Alliance in Uttar Pradesh doesn't have Congress, in Bihar it has Congress. So what kind of change you can see in these two states?
I mean, there's one thing common about the Congress in both the states. All those who have traveled in these states, whether it is a journalist, commentators, or even political, say that the Congress has very weak organization on the ground in both these Gangetic Plain states. So the same is the case in Bihar also, though the Congress is relying more on the RJD's local grassroots level organization, whereas the UP is going it all alone. And now Shatrughan Sinha, who had depended on the massive organization skills of the BJP in all the elections he has fought, and also on the support by the JDU except in the last election, now he is depending on, one is the Congress, which has not much of an organization in Patna Sahib constituency. Second is on the Chalispa of Lalu Prasad Yadav, who is in the jail campaigning from or directing the thing. So it's a very peculiar election for Shatrughan Sinha also. But then we must note that Shatrughan Sinha has been the most vocal critic among the Lok Sabha members of the BJP ever since the Narendra Modi government came into existence. So that means he has already reached out to the anti-BJP voters in Patna Sahib through his statements and other activities.
What is the impact of Lalu Prasad Yadav not present in the election physically?
I think a lot of people have said that there are two things which affected the elections. One is that he would have settled the disputes in his own family, where his two sons have been at loggerheads. One son said, I will not support a candidate. I want my mother to contest. So it has been a bitter public spat. That wouldn't have happened. Second is, on the campaign trail, Lalu Prasad Yadav is a huge draw because he has very earthy, lot of anecdotes. And every statement made by any of his opponents, he has an immediate and very salty repartee to that. So he had enlivened the campaign. So the campaign without Lalu Prasad is a dull campaign.
Now coming to another seat which is seeing a very interesting contest between left and BJP, that is Ara seat, where the BJP has fielded energy minister or the power minister, I should say, Mr. R.K. Singh, and is fighting against both Grand Alliance as well as the left. So left is only seems to be visible on that particular seat. How do you see this contest?
Well, if we look at the history of the leftist party, the Communist Party in India, Bihar had been one of the very major, and it had produced major leaders like Chitranand Mishra and others who had a big say in the communist politics of the country. But yes, there has been splintering, and also Bihar had prestigious as the CPI, ML and all that. So this is, Ara seat is a big thing for them. They feel that they have done some mobilization work of the peasants and workers. So they are pinning a lot of hope. But then again, they have to fight two big combinations, the NDA and the Gathbandhan.
So Begusarai and Ara, these are the two seats where the left has been in kind of fray kind of thing. Now coming to Uttar Pradesh, of course we all know about Varanasi. What do you think is the issue is about the margin of how much vote Prime Minister Narendra Modi gets in that constituency, or any other thing which you think is important in Varanasi?
You know, they say there's only two questions in Varanasi, as you rightly noted. One is the margin. What kind of margin will be there? What kind of turnout? Because one of the things is everybody concedes that the opponents of Narendra Modi are not as strong or as high profile as one expects. So, which means the voters themselves may say, Mr. Modi will win, why should we go and vote? So, that is a big challenge.
And that is why he appealed to all the voters that go and cast your vote. Well, I mean, don't think that I'm going to win.
Yeah,
so
he
don't.
Wants a turnout which will be somewhere similar to the average turnout in Bengal. Then, second question, everybody asks is, who will come second? Will it be the Samajwadi Party or the Congress Party or the independent candidate? So, that is the only thing left, because even the Congress has said that we are here to prove a point that we are fighting. So, all visitors to Varanasi say, these are the only two questions.
Now, coming two other constituencies in Uttar Pradesh, one is Gorakhpur and another one is Ghazipur. So, what kind of scenario you are seeing there?
I think the vacuum he left after he became the chief minister on that seat was evident in the way the by-election went.
When Samajwadi Party
because
won.
There were two things happened. One is that the BJP lost that seat because it has been consistently won by Yogi Adityanath and before that his guru Yogi Adityanath. So it has been a pocket borough of the BJP for 7-8 elections. So that was a vacuum he left. And also the social turmoil, which suddenly somebody from a different social group won that election, of course. And the BJP itself changed the social combination of its candidate. Now, again, BJP has made a further experiment. It has not continued with the social combination of Abhaydinath and Adityanath, but has brought fishermen to the contest. But then it's a triangular contest there. The Samajwadi Party has brought, again, an OBC there, but the Congress has tried the upper caste card there. So it's a very interesting election, because it involves not just the prestige, but to lose once is a happenstance, but to lose twice is criminal neglect. So Yogi Adityanath has to ensure that the seat they win, and with a good hefty margin.
Now coming to my last question on Madhya Pradesh, do you think that will there be some kind of impact on Sadhvi Pragya's statement?
I'm sure it will be there.
So Madhya Pradesh is going for 8 seats in this stage. And finally, some words about Himachal Pradesh. How do you see it there? Because there are just 4 seats in one stage. So do you see some kind of impact of national politics on the Himachal Pradesh?
Himachal Pradesh, way the contest has been structured, seems to be more on the, one is on the issues of nationalism, because that is a state which sends a lot of people to the Indian Army, and the streak of nationalism is there. Plus also in terms of organizational strength, there's a feeling that the anti-incumbency feeling against the previous Congress state government is still there. So those two factors are going to benefit the BJP better than the Congress.
Just to inform our listeners, News Services Division of All India Radio has made elaborate arrangements for providing authentic and latest results of Lok Sabha and Assembly elections in 4 states. For the first time, All India Radio, the biggest radio network of the country, will continuously broadcast a special program on election results for 40 hours. AIR News will mount a special Janadesh 2019, which is a bilingual program in Hindi and English, from May 23rd, 7 a.m. to May 24th, 11 p.m. All India Radio correspondents across all corners of the country will continuously provide latest live counting of votes. Experts in studios will give comprehensive and in-depth analysis of the results. The program will be broadcast on AIR FM Gold and other channels. It will also be available live on YouTube channel News on AIR Official. Thank you, Mr. Murthy.
Thank you.
You were listening to a discussion on overall analysis of 7th phase of polling. The participants were K.S. Sachidanandamurthy, political analyst, and Shishir Sinha, journalist. This program was produced and presented by the News Services Division of All India Radio. This program is also available on our website, newsonair.nic.in. You may email your opinion about this program at airnsdtalks@gmail.com.